Radio Gloucestershire Sport.
Good evening. Happy Monday. Welcome to your Radio Gloucestershire Sports programme. As we recap the events of the weekend, just in case you missed something, I'm Danny Harrington in for Steve Kitchen this evening, who is on parenting half-term duties, shall we say. Well, what a weekend it was for our football teams. Let's start at Cheltenham.
Streeted inside the penalty area. Chips the ball across the face of the goal. Goodwin gets in a shot. It's blocked. And now there's a shooting chance. It goes in. It's deflected in. And Cheltenham have scored. It's Sean Long again. It was deflected off a Vale player and it's looped over Connor Ripley. Port Vale 1, Cheltenham 2.
Absolutely brilliant. Let's hear from the goal scorer.
Well, I said it was a nice finish, but I just can't remember because obviously it's you're so happy to score, and I think it was important we got back in the game at that stage as well. I'll have a look at it on the bus and enjoy it. Yeah,
it is their second win in their last three games. You wait for one win, two come along at once. They're like buses, aren't they, for Cheltenham Town at the moment. Elsewhere, Forest Green Rovers had a great weekend. David Horseman as well, having a very good weekend as FGR manager.
Callis with a flick on. Look at the Morton. Morton, strong goal here. 1-1. Morton makes it 2 just for half time. That is second. Forest Green second against the one of play. Chesney thought Forest would have survived. Going to half time with it level. They nip ahead. It's Forest Green Rovers 2. Crawley 1.
Brilliant weekend against Crawley. Here's a little bit of Troy Deeney after the match.
I feel like today, while we caused the threat, they probably had the better chances. And Belly was obviously fantastic with the saves he made. Excuse me. And just one of those days where you have to grind it out. And that bit, I think, has been missing for the most part of the season. I can't talk on the games before me, but for this period where I've been here, that grit, that determination, that they shall not pass kind of mentality was there for all to see.
Now, with sport, you have to take the good and the bad. The good with the bad. Speaking of bad, it wasn't a great night for Gloucester Rugby, was it, on Friday night?
Krzyzewski then comes to it now. He strikes the ball as he's stroking it towards the target. He likes it. He's made it. Just, that was a very well way to kick by Krzyzewski, but he extends Gloucester's agony here. He played 27 second half minutes. Gloucester 3, Saracens 24.
Yes, a painful defeat to Sarries. Here's how Lewis Ludlow reflected on the match.
They were very good. You know, they probably had three chances and just scored all three of them. Would just say, and then you're coming up against probably one of the best lineup D operators in the comp. And they did well at it. You know, that when I hold my hands up, they did well. We didn't adapt to it well enough. It's something that we can definitely learn from and take going forward. I'd much rather that happen now at this time of the year, so we've got time to learn from it and take that on. It's a good learning for us after having, you know, seven wins on the bounce. It's a good one to go back to the drawing board and be like, this is what we really need to work on.
And with only two more meetings left this year, the November and Christmas meetings at Cheltenham, we'll be reflecting on this weekend's action. And one member of the Forest Green Rovers squad is thrust into our sporting spotlight a little later on. That is all on the way over the next hour on your BBC Radio Gloucestershire sports programme for your Monday. Music as well on the way from Taylor Swift. Some classic Stereophonics Dakota on the way too. But we're going to start with a little bit of Celeste, which always reminds me of the footy on the TV. It's Stop This Flame on BBC Radio Gloucestershire.
But I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Keep on, keep on, keep on.
You'll never stop this thing.
did I move too far? It's all too much. I think I must be mad to give you everything I had, everything I had, everything, everything, but it still went bad. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Tell me to stop, but I keep on going. Keep on, keep on, keep on. You'll never stop this thing.
Love a bit of Celeste, especially on a Monday night. Stop This Flame, always reminding me of the footy ever since a particular TV channel made it the theme for their Premier League coverage. We're going to get into Cheltenham Races in a bit. That's how we're going to kick things off tonight. But we have got music on the way from Taylor Swift. Now, Taylor Swift was involved in a sporting story this week, and it turned out to be a lie. It wasn't true. The rumor was that Taylor Swift was going to buy League Two Notts County. It's relevant because Forest Green Rovers are also in the same division. Notts County promoted last season with Wrexham. Maybe she watched Welcome to Wrexham, saw the team that Wrexham were going up against, thought I'd buy that. The club released a punful statement on it. I'll give you the brief Cliff Notes version. There's no bad blood between Notts County and Taylor Swift, and they said they will still play her music at Meadow Lane. But it got me thinking, and I've been thinking for the entire day, stupid football takeover rumours. Now, the one that comes to mind for me is, you know, the Austrian energy drink company Red Bull. Other energy drinks are available. But the rumour, and I can't remember whether this was 2013, 2014, they were in the market for an English Football League club. And it was either going to be Charlton Athletic, which made a lot of sense because it's London, or for some reason, my team, Swindon Town. I've got producer Ruben in with me. That was obviously too good to be true. The Austrian billions did not swing by the county ground to take us back to the heights of the Premier League.
Yeah, and I'm thrilled, to be honest with you, because...
Well, you've got your sugar daddy, Dale Vince at FGR.
Yeah, but I think, you know, Swindon Town, I've actually played on the county ground pitch.
It's a lovely turf.
And I've played on the new lawn. So
also a lovely turf.
Know, both hold good memories, but Swindon Town, I don't really want to say anything more on them, if that's all right with you.
I mean, it is Radio Gloucestershire. Let's leave that to Radio Wiltshire. But it reminds me, what are the stupidest kind of rumours that had no business being there? Like, I remember Vince McMahon, the WWE, WWF owner, there was a rumour in 2015 that he was about to buy Newcastle United before all the Saudi money. He was going to buy it from Mike Ashley. I don't know where that rumour came from, but it was pretty much debunked within 48 hours by the social media formerly known as Twitter, now X. But everyone on Twitter seemed to like... be very much a fan of Vince McMahon buying Newcastle United for... They wanted The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin to turn up. It was quite bizarre.
Well, it makes sense, though, doesn't it? Because in WWE and WWF, the referee is kind of dressed
up like the Newcastle kit.
Yeah. So that would make a lot of sense. But then also you've got Triple H, the wrestler and current COO or CEO of WWE. He is a West Ham United fan, and they play his music.
The game, Motorhead.
And he goes and watches some of the games. So, you know, it's not out of the realms of possibility.
Well, if you've got an idea of a stupid takeover rumour, Gloss, and your rumour to 81333. I remember Peter Crouch potentially buying Dulwich Hamlet, and it turns out they just made him director of football anyway. So, she's not buying Notts County, but here she is, Cruel Summer, Taylor Swift.
Fever dream high in the quiet of the night, you know that I caught it. Bad, bad boy, shiny toy with a price, you know.
Not the owner of Knox County, Taylor Swift, Cruel Summer, here on BBC Radio Gloucestershire. Now a record of over 29,000 people were at Cheltenham Racecourse for 2 days of the showcase meeting on Saturday. Last year, both the Real Wacker and Seddon went on to win at the festival in March, having won at the Prestbury Park in October. So it's possible we may have already seen a festival winner already. The race from Saturday's card is most obviously linked to the festival, the Per Temps Network Handicap Hurdle, a qualifier for the final race of the same name in March at the festival. Here's how Saturday's racing unfolded. Paul Furley describes the closing stages.
Coming down the hill in the Per Temps qualifier and leading them round the bend at the bottom of that hill is Flight Deck with a 6 or 7 length lead from Highland in second place. Beginning to get a couple of lengths closer is Highland, and then in third is Judicial Law, and in fourth is Moon over Clun. But over the last is Flight Deck. From beginning to challenge now is Highland, and Highland gets level with Flight Deck. Highland goes past. Highland takes a half length lead as they come into the final furlong, and Highland is clear now of Flight Deck, who's coming under pressure for second place and is passed into third. But it is the winner. Highland is first. Second is number 11, Judicial Law. Flight Deck holds on for third, and then fourth is number 16, Dubrovnik Harry. But the winner of the Potemps Handicap Hurdle Qualifier is Highland, trained by Nicky Henderson and ridden by Nico de Boinville.
And it was Nico de Boinville, the Gloucestershire-based jockey, on board that winner, Highland, with Judicial Review, who's trained in Gloucestershire by Jonjo O'Neill in second place. The first four all qualify for the Potemps final in March. And that was something that winning trainer Nicky Henderson was keen to emphasise afterwards. But first and foremost, he was delighted Highland was able to cope with the ground when going good to soft.
Well, it surprised me a little bit because I thought this really was a genuine good ground horse and good ground only. And, you know, summer's come to an end and he won the other day, Warwick, and he did that well. I thought, come on. And the boys here, they had a nice little horse as well that had won at Kempton the other day. Go on, you're on a roll. Roll the dice, come on. Let's have some fun. It has surprised me a bit. But, I mean, that's a good surprise because, you know, they've got only four qualify now for the final. So, I mean, I should think he'd have to turn up in March, wouldn't he?
I guess he's going to have to. And if the weather's going to be, you know, a wet winter, important to get him qualified early.
Well, he's qualified and you can, I mean, not to say put him away, but, I mean, we'll look after him a bit and concentrate on the spring campaign, which has got to take in the, yeah, he's got to come here, hasn't he? It's going to be hard to qualify because there'll be a lot of runners in every qualifier. And you've got to finish in the first four. It was six. In the good old days, everybody that ran in one qualified. Then it was easy.
Nicky, I've got to mention your new book. I've seen it. What's it all about?
What's it all about?
Come on, tell us.
Lovely girl, Kate, came to me and said she'd like to write this story. And it's about 12 horses, but we selected horses of which there is a story behind them all. They're not. It doesn't say it's the 12 best horses. They're not. It's just some funny stories. Well, not funny stories, but where there is a genuine tale to be told about.
Can you give us a little one, just a spoiler, just a nice little story on one of your
favourites? Well, favorite. It's, you know, if you take Remittance Man, it was all about the sheep that he lived with and how we found them and how a lost one and we found it again. You know, and it's there are lots of them and that just, it was fun and I think it's... Apparently it's rather popular, but I mean, I don't know. She's a really great, lovely girl. She's written it, and I haven't read a page of it, to be very honest with you.
But you've signed a few.
I've got to go back and sit down and sign a whole lot more now.
Can I just say, if Mrs. Chipster is listening to this, can I have a copy for Christmas, please?
BBC Radio Gloucestershire's Colin the Tipster more interested in talking to Nicky Henderson about the new book than Highland's Victory. Well, Colin was, to be fair to him, so interested in the book that he went and found Nicky Henderson's ghostwriter, Kate Johnson.
We were chatting to Nicky Henderson earlier and he didn't take any credit for the book. So, who wrote it?
Well, I wrote it with Nicky and it was an absolute delight from start to finish. So, I had the idea, I called him and I said, Nicky, what about a book, Your Life in 12 Horses? And the first thing he said, before he said yes or no, was it's going to be really hard to narrow it down to 12. And I thought, great, he's already thinking about it. And so we had hours and hours of time talking about the horses, narrowing the list down. It was absolutely wonderful experience.
Did it take long to write?
It took quite a bit of time to do the research because there's so many people around a horse and I wanted to make sure I got all the voices in, not just Nicky, but owners, breeders, jockeys, stable lads, vets, fans, academics. I wanted to get as many people in as I could.
Don't forget the sheep.
And Nobby the sheep, of course. Of course, Nobby the sheep, the star.
See, it takes me all day to write a shopping list. I could never write a book, so you must have a wonderful talent. Have you written any other books?
No, my first one, but I've loved horses since I was six, and I've been a journalist forever. And I always wanted to write a book about horses, and Nicky's the person to write a book about horses with because obviously his knowledge is off the charts, but he talks about horses in a very engaging way. You don't need to know a lot about horses or racing to know what he's talking about. So I think he brings it alive with the way that he talks about them.
And Nicky Henderson, My Life in 12 Horses with Kate Johnson, is out now. And if Highland keeps winning or develops a quirk where he needs a sheep as a travelling companion, who knows, they may end up being able to make it a baker's dozen of horses to tell his life story in. So that's a recap from Cheltenham Racing over the weekend. Still on the way, we're going to chat Cheltenham Town after one of my favourite tracks from one of my favourite bands, Stereophonics, Dakota, BBC Radio Gloucestershire. Brilliant, the Stereophonics, Dakota on BBC Radio Gloucestershire. Danny Harrington in for Steve Kitchen with your Monday Sports Roundup recap of the weekend. And it's time to chat Cheltenham Town.
BBC Radio Gloucestershire Sports.
Yes, the Darryl Clark revolution in full swing for Cheltenham. Two wins in their last three for the Robins, and the latest win came against Clark's old club, Port Vale.
Cheltenham half deal with it, an acrobatical overhead kick at the back post, and it's gone in, and it's Devine, Alfie Devine, who gets the goal. It went right to the back post, and Devine has hooked that over the top of his head into the back of Luke Southwood's goal. Port Vale 1, Cheltenham 0. In comes the throw. And it's flicked on, and can Long turn and get a shot in? He can, and Sean Long has equalised for Cheltenham, and they've scored from a set piece of their own. It bobbled around in the penalty area, and Long able to turn and fire home his first goal of the season. Port Vale 1, Cheltenham 1. Street is inside the penalty area, chips the ball across the face of the goal. Goodwin gets in a shot, it's blocked, and now there's a shooting chance. It goes in, it's deflected in, and Cheltenham have scored. It's Sean Long again. It was deflected off a Vale player, and it's looped over Connor Ripley. Port Vale 1, Cheltenham 2.
Yes, an absolute brilliant win for the Robins. That's two from their last three. For Clark, a win against his old club, as I say, with Sean Long scoring both goals. Speaking with us after the match, Daryl Clark was positive in his assessment of the match.
Listen, it wasn't pretty, but pleasing win. We fought, we grafted. Thought the first half an hour we created chances, and they score a little bit against the run of the play, which we disappointed on, but then the reaction of the boys was very good, so really pleased with that.
And in the second half, you had to grind it out a bit?
Yeah, you do. That's football, isn't it? You know, we're trying to find a way to win football matches with this group, and you have to grind out the away games to get pick up points away from home. But it's another box ticks. We've won an away game, we've come from behind to win a game, and hopefully the boys can get confidence from it.
Did you feel that the goal that they scored came slightly against the run of play?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned there. Just for the first 30 minutes, we've had a couple of set pieces and had one or two half opportunities, and Streety has a good opportunity, keeper saves it, but then they score and you're looking for a reaction from your team, and the team responded well.
And the goal itself from a set piece, did that disappoint you?
Yeah, it does. It does. Listen, we work hard on every aspect of our game, and it's always disappointing to lose a goal from a set piece, but then you're looking for that reaction. For us not to go under, and the boys didn't do that, and got them back themselves in the game.
You said before you wanted goals from all around the pitch. Were you expecting two goals from your right back?
Yeah, I do. That's we have to score goals, and we have to look dangerous from attacking play. And listen, it was no mind being a classic today. We're trying to grind out results to fight and scrap for wins, and the boys did that today. And Long's got himself a couple of goals.
Daryl Clark speaking to Mark Halliwell after the game, and brilliant win for Cheltenham Town over the weekend. We're still going to reflect on Forest Green Rovers. They also won. Next up, though, but bad news on the rugby front of Friday nights at King's Holm. We'll chat about it after Take That. Who were five, they're now three. If they lose any more, or they change their name, I don't know. It's a new one from them. It's called Windows.
I've been through a year of madness. Replaced my hope with sadness. From waking up the hardest. And every day it felt the longest. All blessings were unwanted. Constantly haunted. Then you opened up my windows. Yeah, you opened up my windows. Like fire in the sky, you know what it's like. What's so glad to feel the sunlight in my eyes.
The new one from Take That. It is called Windows here on your BBC Radio Gloucestershire. How are you? It is Danny Harrington in for Steve Kitchen on your Monday night for your sports programme. And we now go back to Friday night under the lights at King's Home. And unfortunately, wasn't exactly a night to remember for Gloucester.
Lazowski then comes to Winner. He strikes the ball as he's stroking it towards the target. He likes it. He's made it. Just that was a very well way to kick by Lazowski, but he extends Gloucester's agony here. He played 27 second half minutes. Gloucester 3, Saracens 24.
Yes, agony for Gloucester in defeat to Saracens. For the Cherry and Whites, it wasn't the performance we wanted. And our head coach George Skivington speaking after the match with our Andrew Pugh, reflecting on the defeat.
It's disappointing after the way we've been playing, but I mean, the positives are we put them under a lot of pressure. I think eight times we got into their 22. The negatives are obviously we didn't score with that. I thought Saracens played a really simple game. You know, they gave us as much trouble at the line out as anybody has probably in 3 years. So we've got to have a real good look at that because that's not acceptable. And we weren't accurate enough. You know, we created a huge amount of pressure and didn't take advantage of any of that. And then Saracens took advantage of a couple of bobble balls, and they're good enough to do that. And I thought their defence was very good, their line-out defence was very good. But ultimately, we've got to look at ourselves and our accuracy.
You had that ascendancy in the scrummage in particular in the first 20 minutes of the game, and it felt like having got that bit of dominance in the early penalty, the Zach Mercer try, which was disallowed, was a kind of turning point in the game.
Yeah, I think the first 25 minutes we can be pretty happy with the pressure we'd put on Saracens. And like you say, we just didn't take our opportunities. And then Saracens are a very good outfit and we throw one ball on the floor, they kick it down the field, they score a try, and suddenly the whole shift of the game changes. So I think from that point of view, you know, their accuracy around very little opportunity compared to ours, our lack of accuracy against a lot of opportunity is going to be a big lesson here.
Was that about more than one factor in the line? It's such an important part of the modern game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to say. In the heat of the battle, we have to have a really good look at how they managed to do that, because no one's done that to us at that extent in a game. So I think we've got to have a real good look at it and work out how we could have reacted better and what plan we could have gone in with better.
In the first half, might you take those kicks at goal rather than go for the corner? Was that an on-pitch decision?
Yeah, we discuss things through the week and before the game, but I always leave it. I thought they took the right options. I thought the first three was a good option. And then I think, you know, Luds would have built slowly but surely, but Sarri's ran away suddenly with two tries. And next thing you know, our maul's traditionally been very good for us. But you've got to win the ball in the air to set them all up. And when we did maul, for the most part, we were pretty good, but we lost a lot of line. I don't even know what the number was, but we lost a lot of lineouts today.
It was pretty high, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And in the second half, obviously, you tried everything, just couldn't unlock the defence, and things just weren't precise enough compared to Saracens.
No, we knew Saracens would come, you know, really focused on their defence. Their defence has won them a lot of leagues, so we knew not to overplay. I thought the boys still were brave in the way they attacked. I thought they made some line breaks. There's one at the end we could have finished off. We didn't make the pass. So we'll keep pushing on. Like I say, the pressure created from the game plan, I'm pretty happy with. The fact that we didn't score a try is really disappointing, especially seeing as we've been scoring lots of tries.
Yeah, George Skivington speaking after the game to Andrew Pugh. Here's what you thought outside of King's Home.
I'm a bad omen. Whenever I come here, we seem to lose, so I'm very disappointed. But last season, every game I came to, we lost.
Too slow at the breakdown, too much kicking. They need to start Charlie Chapman. He's too good to not be starting.
Well, it wasn't the same as we usually expect, is it? It was pretty disappointing, really.
We were atrocious. We looked slightly promising to begin with and then just fell apart completely.
One of the worst performances I've seen from Gloucester for several seasons.
Yeah, not great news for the rugby Friday nights at King's Home. We will do a fixture recap at the end of the programme, tell you who everybody is playing next. Still got FGR on the way, and our sporting spotlight heads to the new lawn this evening. Well, we head to California now. Katy Perry, California Girls, BBC Radio Gloucestershire. I know a place where the grass is really green.
Creep a little sneak peek at
Katy Perry, California Girls. Here on your BBC Radio Gloucestershire Monday Night Sports, recapping the weekend. Now, each week we put one of our Gloucestershire sporting stars under the sporting spotlight to find out what makes them tick. And this week, it's the turn of a member of the squad at the New Lawn. I'm talking Forest Green Rovers.
I'm Harvey Bunker and I'm a central midfielder.
Who got you into football?
I don't really know, if I'm honest. I'd probably say my dad, or he's definitely kept me in the sport, as in just his sort of drive behind me. So I would say he's probably like the biggest supporter of myself, because yeah, I think I just enjoyed it at a young age, and then he maybe saw some potential in me and just pushed me sort of in the right direction, and then has sort of been the support behind me ever since, really.
Growing up, who were your heroes?
I've just always liked Ronaldo, if I'm honest. He's a completely different player to myself, and I don't really play anything like him, if I'm honest. I wish I could, but just sort of looking at his work ethic and professionalism is sort of why I look up to him in some ways. So yeah, I'd definitely say he's a big player I look up to.
What's the best thing about being a professional in sport?
Just every day being able to sort of go into like supposedly work, and like you don't really look at it as work, you're just looking at it as a hobby that you enjoy and you love doing. And I think that's just sort of the main thing, that you're on the pitch every day, you're outside in the fresh air playing football with 20, 30 of your mates. So yeah, I don't think you can beat it.
What's the hardest part?
Look, it's a lot of commitment, and it is full on at times, and having to try and perform all the time, and even when you're maybe not performing your best, to still keep going with it is probably a tough side to it. But if I'm honest, there's not too many negatives to playing football every day.
What's been your biggest sporting high?
It was a tough season last year. We didn't have much success, but for me personally, to play in League One and score my first goal just after, I think, my second game was probably the highlight for me. And then just this season, being able to be involved within the first, like you say, 11 games out of 13, it's sort of my first sort of breakthrough into senior football properly. So yeah, it's just, that's probably the biggest high for me.
Which coach or manager has had the biggest impact on your career?
I think all of them, if I'm honest. Every manager has given me something different. Some haven't played me, some have played me. All of the managers have given me something different, and because there's been maybe a few at Forest Green now, each one's probably made me grow each time. So I'd probably look at all of them and sort of give them all credit, if I'm honest, because like I say, they all have different sort of ways of teaching, and it's made me probably grow as a player. So it's definitely been a part of all of them.
What would be your dream team to play for?
I live local to Portsmouth, so I'd love to play for Portsmouth one day. Just a couple seasons ago, having a season ticket with my friends down there. So for them to see me playing down there for Portsmouth would be a great feeling. But for me, just trying to play at a high level and playing week in, week out, I think would, just for any team, would be a great feeling.
What's your favourite pastime away from the day job?
Obviously, where you have training a lot, there's not too much you can do. So just putting a good series on, to be honest, on Netflix, or maybe on the odd day off, a bit of golf is definitely sort of my go-to things to do.
What would you listen to on the way to a game?
I'm not massively one of them to put headphones on listening to music, if I'm honest. I just like to take in everything around me on the bus or on the journey in. So maybe a bit of Radio 1 just if I'm in the car. And then, yeah, if I'm on the coach, just listening to the lads.
What would you be if you weren't a footballer?
I'd love to play golf if I could. Obviously, it's another sport, but in terms of day jobs, I'm not too sure.
What's the funniest thing you've seen in sport?
I'm not too sure. There's a lot of funny things that go on, obviously, in the change room and around the training ground, just day to day. But to pick something, I would struggle, if I'm honest.
Forest Green Rovers, Harvey Bunker. If he wants to play golf, he's got the perfect second name for it, doesn't he? Right, we're going to chat Forest Green right now, because Forest Green, they had a decent weekend in League 2.
Good passing football, all across the goal now. Goes over everyone, goes off the post and goes in after 6 minutes. Forest Green have conceded, the boos echo around. And Forest Green find themselves one down. Bunker picks up the loose ball, goes forward, might have a long range shot, plays it forward to Morton instead. Morton in the penalty area, turns, goes into his left foot, shoots and scores! Gets the equaliser. Great work there from Callum Morton, control it in the penalty area. Does well to score at a cute angle. And Forest Green are right back in it. Forest Green overs one, Crawley Town one. Callis with a flick on, looking for Morton. Morton, strong goal here, 1-1. Morton makes it two, just for half time. That is second, and Forest Green second against the run of play. Jesse thought Forest would have survived going to half time with it level. They nip ahead as Forest Green overs two, Crawley one.
And that's how it finished. FGR 2, Crawley 1. And David Horseman, after the game, spoke to us, and he seemed, well, a sigh of relief after the match.
Yeah, one of relief, especially after the first 10, 15 minutes, where clearly there was a lot of anxiety on the pitch and off the pitch and around the place. And I thought, to be fair to Crawley, I thought they were a really good team, particularly with the ball, and had some really good, sharp, technical players, and it caused us a few problems. And then we go 1-0 up, and obviously it gets a little bit angry around the stadium, I think is probably the best way to describe it, particularly a few behind me. And I thought what the players then did was showed incredible character to come back. And from what I understand, we haven't actually been one down, come back to win for a long, long time. So I'm really, really proud of the players, the squad, the staff for sticking together, because these are tough times at the moment. I don't think performance-wise, I actually thought today we're performance-wise wasn't particularly good at all. I thought we'd been much better in previous games, but sometimes it's about winning, and we've probably deserved more points than what we got, and it probably wouldn't be such quite an angry place at the moment if we had. And we've got to keep turning out those wins and try and be better than what we were today, and we'll move up the table, I'm sure of it.
Crawley started fantastically. They got the goal. It could have been one or two more. Did they let their foot off the gas, or did you change something to nullify it?
No, I think if the truth today, the goal probably helped some of our players, because almost it put us in a no lose position. It probably relieved a bit of the pressure. I actually thought we had a penalty before that, where we had the long throw and a couple of other things that probably weren't quite going our way, which has been the way. What I think is probably bigger for us at the moment is I've probably stood here quite a few times and said I think we've played well, we deserve more, we missed chances. Probably today we were a little bit more clinical in a couple of chances we did have, and we made bigger blocks and saves at the other end, which we haven't been doing. And yeah, listen, today was all about 3 points, because we need to move up the table, and I'm a firm believer in that. I think what people don't realise now, that's what, 3 wins out of the last 4. So we win on penalties at Walsall, we beat Colchester, we lose to Barrow, should have hammered them, should have really been 4 out of 4 in my personal opinion, and then today we get a win. So, you know, 2 out of 3, if we keep that form up over the course of the season, it'll definitely move us up the table.
James Belshaw did very well today. Again, difference in Tuesday, their player got man the match, their goalkeeper got man the match on Tuesday, yours today, and he made some fantastic saves. The reaction save in the second half and 2 yards out was really quality.
It's really, listen, first of all, he is the best lad. Desperate to do well, really enjoying being here. He's a good goalkeeper, and he's been promoted out of this league before. So we just thank Bristol Rovers for helping us out, because obviously the Luke one got injured and re-injured, hopefully back soon, but Bellet's been fantastic. And like the saves he made, there weren't loads of times after the first 10 minutes where we got cut open. They were a long throw and it bobbled in the box, and he's sharp around his goal. So delighted for him today, because actually he cares as much as anybody, and he knows he's only here for a short period of time.
Yeah, what is the future with him? Is an emergency loan seems to be renewed every week. How long can we keep that going for?
So as long as you can prove that Luke is genuinely injured, which obviously he is, and medically you have to scan scans and bits and pieces like that, then you can do it. You've got to renew it every Friday, so we review it. I don't suspect it will last too much longer, because Luke's back. He trained a little bit yesterday and looked okay. He wasn't in any discomfort, so probably I would guess, I don't know if Bristol Rovers will let us play him against Scarborough. We'd have to double check that, but I'd imagine by the time we go to Tranmere, then Luke will be fully fit and he'll be in goal, and unfortunately then Belly has to go back. But we're just delighted to have him around for now.
January's a few months away, but would you keep an eye on him for January? Would you keep involving the club till January?
I think right now we keep all our options open. We want to be a top team. Teams are frightened to death to come here, so we'll keep our eyes open. He is the type of person and player, most importantly first person, that you want around. So let's wait and see what happens.
Forest Green manager David Horseman's chatting with our Billy Hunt after the 2-1 win against Crawley. Coming up, we are going to focus on some of the other teams around the county. There was a big clash in the FA Vars, an all-Gloucestershire clash in the FA Vars, or Vase, whichever you way you pronounce it. We're going to chat about that, including the roundup of the games of Gloucester City and Hartbury University as well.
I remember when my nephew was a lot younger, he came downstairs and had two vinyl records and he went, "Dad, look at the size of these CDs."
The name of this podcast is Sidetracked, brought to you by myself, Annie McManus.
And myself, Nick Grimshaw. Basically, it's going to be me and Annie getting together to talk about the week in music. All the things that have got us really excited, be they brilliant or be they a bit rubbish.
I wanted to be silly and have fun.
Okay! That's the pitch.
Brand new Sidetracked with us, Annie and Nick. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Dylan and Rebel Child here on BBC Radio Gloucestershire. Would you class that as pop punk? I think I would. Some of the other fixtures that took place this weekend. We've got a big derby in the FA Vars, but we're going to recap them now. Gloucester City went away to a former Football League club in Boston United. Unfortunately, it was not a positive result for Gloucester City. It finished Boston United 1, Gloucester City 0. In the Southern League Division 1 Central, Cirencester Town were away at Waltham Abbey. Unfortunately for the Romans, it was a 1-0 defeat. There was an all-Gloss clash in the FA Vars. That's very difficult for me to say. Stroud-based Brimscombe and Thrupp were up against Cheltenham Saracens, and it was Brimscombe and Thrupp who advanced to the next round with a 2-0 win. And switching to rugby, well, it just wasn't our weekend for rugby. Should we skip the rugby? Hartbury University 28, Ealing Tailfinders 36. It's FA Cup weekend next weekend. So Cheltenham away at AFC Wimbledon at the new Plough Lane. And for Forest Green Rovers, it's the reincarnation of Scarborough FC, which is Neil Warnock's old club. Scarborough Athletic, how will they cope with the AstroTurf? That's the question up in Scarborough. And Gloucester away at Sale Friday night. All the sports, all here on BBC Radio Gloucestershire.